Today on CityCast Chicago. All summer long, I've been hearing how Chicago is coming back with tourism up, packed hotels, crowds outside, and no shortage of daily events. But remember, restaurants are still reeling from the pandemic and inflation, and we've seen some major closures. Here to tell us what this means for Chicago's world-class dining scene is Eaters Ashok Selvam. It's Wednesday, August 30th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is what Chicago's talking about. Ashok, welcome back to CityCast Chicago.
Good to talk to you, Jacoby. Closures are not my favorite thing to talk about, and I get like people throw darts like, oh, Eaters Chicago wrote about the next closure, like you're fetishizing closures, but wow, do people care? And it's so heartbreaking to talk about this on a regular basis.
Did any of your favorite restaurants or some of the restaurants you've enjoyed going to close this summer?
Well, the ones in the process of closing, that would be Owen and Engine in Logan Square. It's an English-style pub. It was one of the first real kind of highlights in Logan Square. Not to say that Logan Square didn't have restaurants before, but it was a little sparse. It was like, you know, you had the Golden Nuggets, you had your Burger Kings. So this was an independent restaurant run by Bo Fowler, and she was very dedicated to making sure the neighborhood had a restaurant where they could find top flight ingredients. It's still open. It's going to be open by the end of the month. But for like the kind of the quality food that they had, they also had one of the best burgers in town by a long shot. You know, they would make their own bun in-house. They would grind, you know, short rib and use, you know, cheddar cheese, not just like, the Kraft slices that we all grew up with. This restaurant really proved to a lot of folks that Logan Square was a neighborhood to be reckoned with, and it was one of the first. And I am really sad about that closure, because also the circumstances surrounding that closure. You had a chef, Chef Fowler, who was recovering from a heart attack suffered 2 years ago. And, she couldn't tend to both of her restaurants at the same time. She thought she could, but she was telling me that it was just too hectic. She was finding herself hiding in the kitchen, hiding from customers. That's how she was dealing with her anxiety. She had some, she just had priorities where she was missing family events. And then at the end, she just like kind of needed a bit of an intervention, saying like, this isn't what I told my doctors I was going to do in terms of keep, taking it easy instead of working 80-hour weeks, roll back. You know, it'd be a miracle if she did 40-hour weeks. So with all that kind of combined in a stew, it just became a very volatile situation. So Chef Fowler had to choose between keeping Owen and Engine open or Bishi Beer, which is also in Logan Square, her Asian brew pub. And Bishi is newer, and there's some probably a little bit more potential there. So Owen and Engine was had to be on the chopping block.
I mean, I've seen in you all's reporting everything from John's Pizzeria that was open for 7 decades, Pearl Southern Comfort in Edgewater, which was open for 8 years, to some places that were only open for 4 months or 2 years. Are you seeing any trends on what type of restaurants are closing? Are they staples? Are they ones that are, just popping up and not making it?
Right now, it's I will resort to my my crutch about the pandemic. Everyone thought they got through that. They got through all the multiple stages, and now people are tired or exhausted, and they just can't sustain that same energy level that got them to survive. And right now, it's like, why? What else? What's the next obstacle? Or are they just like running out of gas? With John's, It's a family-owned business, and no one else wanted to kind of, like they lost their lease. But is the next generation? It's really hard to find that the younger generation wanting to continue the business after they see their family, their parents struggle for such a long time. Now, some other folks, like, they love it. Like, hospitality is in their blood, and they live to see people happy. But that's kind of an unusual beast. And I can't blame folks who are like, all right, we had a good couple decade run. You know, like, at the average, like, when you even see restaurants around for 8 years, that's a fantastic run. Usually, you know, it's in the 2 to 3 year period, and it's time to go.
Are there any geographical trends in terms of which neighborhoods, which areas of the city are experiencing more closures?
It's pretty well spread out, I gotta say, with closures. We're not seeing that many trends with geography here. I will say that as far as the type of restaurant, you know, it's going to be like the independent mom and pops that are going to be hurt the most. You know, they didn't, the new restaurants, when they were applying for PPP grants or loans, they didn't get a lot of money because those applications were based on past performance.
So many people have written about Josephine Southern Kitchen over in Greater Grand Crossing. And, you know, like you said earlier, I don't want to write an obituary here because the restaurant is still open and has been open for decades and decades. But they had to switch to weekend hours because they weren't able to sustain business all week. They've thought about looking for different locations, moving from where they've been before. It was, you know, Josephine Southern Kitchen or Southern Cooking when it was Captain Hook's Kitchen. So it's really hard to see not simply these closures, but in some cases the sort of writing on the wall as things are leading to what sometimes feels very inevitable in some of these cases. With the pandemic being such a strong reason for closures, you know, how are the trends looking in terms of pre-pandemic? Are we seeing so many more closures? Are we starting to level out come 2023 versus 2021?
It has been a good summer, and I know that sounds like very like optimistic. But, you know, with the warm weather, like I'll show you, like, one metric that I look at is our maps and traffic for, like, who's reading what. And consistently, the Eater Chicago 38, which is our list of the best restaurants in Chicago, which is also a really good tool for visitors and tourists, that has consistently been, like, either the number one story across the Eater network or, you know, in top five easily. So for me, that signals there is a little bit of recovery, at least on the tourism side. So that's an optimistic, that's great. What I'm going to predict is people are going to run out of money and patience, and that's going to make for a not so enthusiastic winter. And I don't want to write about the closures, but I think that we're going to see a little bit more, like, some of the closures that should have happened already because of the pandemic, but that PPP money. I just wrote a story early this week about Maple and Ash, one of the top grossing restaurants in the country, and how investors in a lawsuit accused one of their owners of using part of $7.6 million in PPP money. He used $2 million allegedly to buy a private Lear jet.
To so get you're the seeing, Lear.
Yeah, that Lear jet. And, you know, that's for the courts to decide if that happened yet. But you're going to see that on a micro scale of folks that maybe didn't invest in the right way. And again, some of these mistakes are really going to, you know, surface in the next couple of months, I feel.
Why is it important for the Eater for you all to track these restaurants and, you know, how they're doing and when they close?
Well, you want the honest answer? The honest answer is, you know, Chicago is such a city with developers that are so thirsty on what the next space is going to be and what the next empty space is going to be. And when they see a closure, they are like sharks to blood. And they're looking at potential, like, finding a new tenant. They're looking for a client. And then, you know, That was my cynical answer. But then you also have, chefs and folks that have been in the business for a while. Maybe they've been working under big groups that are looking for their own space. And they're looking like, wow, I like this location. It works for me. It's got the vibe. It's got the community I serve. But there's not a lot of openings right there. So when they see someone go down, that does provide an opportunity. And that's, no one wants to hear that, but that's just me being honest. So that's one of the most important things. And then when you see closures from longtime restaurants, restaurants are where memories are made. You know, that's where nostalgia, you may have celebrated a birthday, a first date, some sort of milestone event. And when they close, a part of you just vanishes.
Yeah, as I move through the stories, and I mean, there's always such deep context, but I've always heard that restaurants are one of the hardest businesses to open, to sustain, to make a hit. What would you say is one of the number one reasons they ultimately don't work out for so many?
So folks don't realize the toll of late hours, the toll of, maybe working with people that, may not have a high threshold. They know they can go somewhere else if things don't work out. And sometimes there's some ugliness in restaurants that we don't talk enough about probably, but I give everyone who finds a better situation like, hey, that's amazing. But sometimes, the situations aren't as dire. And, what have you really committed in the restaurant, which is an hourly wages? They don't give you benefits. You know, you can just get up and go. You know, you can just no show. And, that's it. There's no really consequences there.
Yeah. From talking about stalwarts closing like a Seven Treasures, which has been there for 40 years. You also write about optimistic stories, right? The new chefs. Are there any openings that you're looking forward to?
Oh, are there any openings right now? There's a spot in Westtown called Juk Sing, and it's supposed to take kind of the idea of an Asian night market, these huge outdoor affairs that happen that are popular in China, Vietnam, and Thailand. They have a couple around in North America. Last week, I was in one outside of Vancouver, and there's like these awesome vendors with great food. So they're trying to encapsulate that feeling into their space where they're going to have retail bar snacks, bar foods. And that sounds really neat. Like they're going to have like cool versions of like ramen instant noodles. I really like the places like Boonie Foods in Old Irving, this Filipino restaurant. It's nice and bustling, and that's the type of place. Warlord in Avondale. You were talking about Josephine's and Labor. There are not a lot of places that are opening late night, but this place serves food to 1 o'clock. And like that got me really excited when that opened earlier this summer. And now like more of the community is figuring out why people are waiting 2 hours around the block to get there. And that makes me excited. It really had a kind of a pre-pandemic feel. You just don't see folks lining up at night for anything. So when you see that, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That makes me restore my faith in humanity again.
All right. I got a couple places I need to pull up on.
Yeah. Warlord, don't sleep on it. It's a good spot.
Ashok, I appreciate you making time for us. You've joined the show to talk about everything from summer meals you've enjoyed to openings and closings. It always means so much to us.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to talking next time.
Before I let you go, some good news. Queer Fam Pride Jam is taking over the Sauchere Fairgrounds this Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The event is free and open to all ages. So stop by to get your face painted, do some family yoga, or check out the vendor market and stay for the slow-mo dance party. I'll drop a link for you in the show notes. As always, we appreciate you for listening. Make sure you're reading our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago. Subscribe now at chicago.citycast.fm. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace. Here to tell us what this means for Chicago's dining scene is the Chicago Eaters. Blah, 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 that's too much Chicago. Too much Chicago. Shake that ass for Chicago. Shake that ass for Chicago. Ah, here we go. Starting over.